Morning is a message that was put upon my heart quite some time ago, and it just needed the right place and the right time. And it wasn't the original message that was supposed to be for today, but as I sat in my office this week, probably about Thursday or Friday, the Lord said, well, now's the time to give this message. And it's a message that I hope will put hope in your life and let you know how truly you are loved by God, by me, by those that sit around you in this place, by others. Because we know that God loves us, right? We know that God is always there for us. He loves us so much that he does just about anything he can do to show us his love. But one of the things that we don't always recognize sometimes is that God truly cherishes us. That we are cherished. And there's a difference between loving and cherishing. To love means that we have really intense, deep affection for somebody or something. That really truly runs deep, that affection. And God certainly has that for us. But the meaning of cherish is to lovingly protect and care for something or someone. To hold on to treat as dear, to feel love for, to nurture. And I certainly hope that you would feel cherished in your life at some point, that you would know that you're cherished. There are items and people that we cherish in life, right? That we truly have that we deeply care for, and we protect them in that way. And to cherish something is not bad as long as we're cherishing the correct things. That we cherish those things that are correct in our lives and are for us and are from God. That we cherish and love correctly. But even beyond you cherishing something or somebody else is recognizing the point that you yourself are cherished. That you are truly, deeply loved. And this is one of the things that sometimes we don't recognize. We don't always relate to in knowing that we are loved, that we're revered, that we're appreciated, that we're admired, that we're treasured by somebody, that they love us so much that they see us in that light and knowing that. And to be treasured by somebody means so very much to us. It adds hope. It adds light to our life. And realizing and truly knowing deep down inside that somebody cares for you. There's too many in the world that walk without knowing this inside of them. That they're cared for so much that it almost feels like it hurts when they hurt. And that can be somebody that you would not even expect. Look to the left of you. Look to the right of you. Look forward. Look backwards. That could be that person that you just looked at that truly loves you and cares for you so much that when you hurt, they hurt. That when you feel something, it's like they almost feel it themselves. But no matter how we're seen by others, it can never compare to how we're seen by Jesus. You know, there's one truth in this world. There's one irrefutable truth, you know, that it can never be taken off. Nobody can ever say it's a lie because we know it's true. And that is that no one can ever separate us from our Lord Jesus. No one. But sometimes we don't walk in life realizing that you cannot be separated from Jesus. Even if you don't call yourself a believer in this world, Jesus still cares about you. You can't be separated from Him. You cannot walk alone in this world, no matter what. Because He loves you. So I want you to actually read that in your Bibles. I want you to read where it says that you cannot be separated from Him. So if you would, if you'd please take your Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, turn to chapter 8, verse 35. And I want to start reading in here, and I want you to follow along and truly look at the words that's being said here. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans chapter 8 and those verses spells out to us many of the things that potentially could separate us from Jesus. But when we get to that last verse in 8:39, it says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation, all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God. From the love of Jesus. Sometimes we don't recognize that. We certainly don't feel like that, that we're inseparable from Him. Because when we walk through life and we spend time dealing with mental, spiritual, or physical issues, that we feel separated from Him, but we're not. We can't be. You can never walk a step in your life where Jesus is not there stepping beside you. You can never walk a step in life where you're dealing with something so heavy it feels like it's weighing you down without Jesus holding on to you and lifting you through it. You can never go through anything in life without Jesus whispering in your ear and telling you it'll be okay. We think about that separation, but we forget what it says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. We forget that that verse in there should leave no doubt in your mind and in your heart that you are cherished by Jesus, that you're cherished by our Heavenly Father. That He loves us to such an extent that He did that. That we can have that type of love in our life. And because we know that we're loved, all of us, equally, beyond measure, we realize that we can love others around us also because Jesus first loved us. He loved us before we even knew what was coming. Before mom and dad even knew that you were going to be born, He loved you. He loved us. He loved all the world. 1 John talks about in his first letter in chapter 4, verse 19, where he says, "We love because He first loved us." Imagine truly believing that in your heart and knowing that you can take that love no matter where you go, no matter in what circumstances you walk through, what pathway you might have in life. Jesus loved us, and He still loves us, and He loves us without conditions. He doesn't say to you that, well, if you do this for me or you do that for me, then I'll love you, that you'll get these things. No, His love comes unconditionally. It came first, without you even knowing who He is as a baby, that Jesus loved you and continues to love you as you develop and you grow in life. That He sees exactly who you are and who He wants you to be. And He loves us no matter what's going on. And because of His love, because He loved us first, we then choose to love Him back. We make that transition in life where we realize and we understand the depth of Jesus' heart for us. And because of that, we are given a time of decision, a time of choosing to love Him because He loves us. And we choose that, and that's why that free will comes in. Because He says, I want you to love me because you want to love me. I love you because you are you. Because Jesus, well, for Jesus, there is no actual choosing whether He wants to love us or not. He cannot help but to love you. He cannot help but to love each and every one of you. It's against His very character and His makeup. It's against His DNA for Him to say that He can't love you. Did you know that God can't do some things? And that's one of the things that He cannot do? God cannot help but to love you. He loves you. He can't go against that. That's truly His character and what He's made up of. And God, Jesus, shows His love to us each and every day in so many different ways. But there's something great that Jesus did to really show us His love. How do we show love to others? How do we show love to other people? We generally do something for them, don't we? We might say we love them, but as the saying goes, talk is cheap. But when we do things for others to show them our love, that's truly a deep, resounding affirmation that we truly care about who they are. That we walk that way. One of the greatest things that we could ever do to show our loves for somebody, and I hope this would never happen, but you got to have the mindset and the heart set to think that if it did, I'd be true, is to lay down our life for somebody else. Did you know we're called to do that sometimes? This might not be your literal life, but it might be something in your life that encompasses your life, that takes over everything else, that you would have to lay that down to go help somebody or at some point in time. Perhaps it can be taken to the extreme to where you might have to lay down your physical life. But we're called to be that way. Have you ever had a point in time where something was going on and you had to run into a difficult situation or danger to help somebody else out, even putting yourself in danger to do those things? How about for those that have kids? Have you done that with your children? Have you had a point in time where you thought, you know, afterwards that, man, I could have really got hurt doing that? Or, well, that could have been really bad for me. But at the point in time, you just did it. This is the way Jesus looks at us. He looked at us and He says, I just got to do it. Jesus became that person that laid down His life for us. Jesus did for us exactly what we might do for somebody else, where Jesus actually did it. He ran into that danger. He ran into that situation. He didn't just walk hesitantly in there. He ran into that place. And he traded his life for our life. Sometimes I think we forget how truly momentous that is. I remember some of the times that I was going to what we refer to as a hot call, that I would run headlong into danger. And at the time, you just don't think about it. But afterwards, you do get to think about it. But Jesus, there was no hesitation for him. There was nothing. Even afterwards, I can only assume that he thought in his heart that, he goes, it was worth every moment that we would have that time, that he would show how much he cherished us to lay down his life for us. And when he does that, when he gets to that point, Jesus says, okay, guys, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven because you believe in me, because I did this for you, because I loved you this much. And once you come to that point of believing in your heart and confessing, you are saved. We are saved. So many people out there that don't realize that. Realize the true magnitude of what Jesus has done. Because we have redemption through his blood. Isn't that right? Ephesians 1:7 talks about how we are redeemed by his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And by God's grace, we are forgiven for those times. We are given atonement because our Father sent Jesus to this place to give us a gift that is bigger than any gift we could ever get anywhere else. Jesus came through and he paid a price that we could not pay because we owed a debt. And he paid this debt. He paid something off that could never be paid off any other way. That he died for our sins. And he did that. He did that so he could meet or he could give us what we need as individuals. What we need to get through life. What we need to be on the right path. He gives us everything that we need. He tells us that we're supposed to ask, that we're supposed to seek, that we're supposed to knock for those things, and he will provide what we need. Jesus answers all prayers. He doesn't ignore this one or that one. He doesn't say, I'm going to set this one aside. It's not like that TV show where it's on the computer, where he types in, you know, yes to everything, or no, or just hits the delete key. He pays attention to each and every prayer, and he answers each and every one of them. Sometimes it's hard to look and see through the answers because we're looking for something specific. And we don't see what we want, and because we don't see what we want, we then don't see what we need. But he answers all these prayers. And by answering these prayers, he really truly helps us out. Jesus is there. Holy Spirit is there to help direct our ways, to put us on the right paths of things, to lead us to a life of glorious, even in this plane of life that we have here. Even on this earth, he directs our paths so we could have the best life possible. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. He corrects us. But the thing about Jesus, because he loves us, because he can't help to love us, he always gives us correction and love. This doesn't always happen with other people. That people can give us correction, and sometimes it's just rude or it's just mean, but Jesus never does this. He always gives us correction and love. He helps to discipline us and not merely just punish us. to show us the right way. But sometimes when we walk through life and we realize that, hey, this is happening, that we're being disciplined or being told that we can't do something, we take it as a rebuke. And sometimes it can be rebuke, but we have to realize and to know that rebukes are not really that bad. Discipline from God is not really that bad. It might feel uncomfortable for a little bit, but it's not really that bad. That if I can figure out and I can remember the fact that He loves me, that I can be rebuked, I can be disciplined because I know they really love me. To be rebuked might feel a little bit, well, comes with a sting sometimes. But it's for our benefit. Hebrews talks about it all the time. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 12 of Hebrews. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. Because it talks about being rebuked by God. It talks about how being rebuked by God is not necessarily something that is punishment or evil in nature to make us feel bad. It's not there to cause us to become disgruntled or downtrodden. Chapter 12, verse 5. It says in here, "Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.'" The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. We really pay attention to those parts. And we look at the words rebuke, we look at the words discipline. But we forget what it says up in verse 5 where it says, "Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you?" Those are meant to be words, moments of encouragement. That God loves you so much that He wants what's best for you, that He would tell you not to do something. If you did it, you got disciplined. That you got rebuked. That's supposed to be a moment, a time of encouragement. To saying, I am cherished. I am just nurtured. I am protected that much that He would take the time to try and correct me so I would not live a life in death. That I would be one of His chosen to live that part in my life. It comes from a point of love. And a point of love that we has, it, that's a point of protection. His love is protecting us all the time. There's probably times where you've slipped on a ladder or you've stumbled on a step going downstairs or you've done something else that you could have been truly hurt. And perhaps you took a moment to say, thank you, God, for protecting me. And God does these things because He loves us. He cherishes us because He doesn't want us to get hurt. God's love always protects us. It always nurtures us. You know, there's a famous chapter in the Bible in 1 Corinthians called chapter 13. It's called the love chapter. In there you can go in and you can read in love chapter about how He loves and protects you all the time, of what love truly is and what it really does. If you haven't read it for a while, I suggest you go back in there. I encourage you to go back in there and do it. Because sometimes we really truly need to know what love is and how we are loved. We look at that love chapter about how we're supposed to love each other, how we're supposed to love somebody else. It's always coming from us. But I want you to go in and read the chapter and realize how much you are loved like that. That's a receiving thing. That you receive His love. That you receive love from others just in that nature. That God protects you. That He nurtures you through all those things. That He says, I love you in this way. That I'm going to be there for you. He heals us in many ways, some in different than others. He might heal you spiritually. He might heal you mentally. He might heal you physically. But He heals us in so many ways. And when that happens, when He heals us, He actually turns us into a healer. He turns us into a healer so we can go out and we can help heal others. Imagine somebody going walking through the same shoes that you've walked through and how you can lead them through that situation and provide healing for them, because they can truly look at you and go, I know that they've been there. I know what they're talking about is true. They've walked in my shoes. God heals you so you can heal others. And because of the love, because of the way we are cherished by Him, we go out and we love and we cherish in the same way. Being a part of God's great scheme of the world and saying, this is what my plan was for this world. This is what I want it to be. And He trusts us so much that He calls us on board to go do those things. He has such faith in us. And He says, I'm going to make you a part of this process. He could do it all by Himself if He wanted to. He doesn't need our help. But He truly wants our help. He leads us supernaturally. Holy Spirit is there to lead us supernaturally. And sometimes we discount that. We discount His leading and how He does it, because it's not in line with what we're thinking. It doesn't match up to the way I want to do something. So we dismiss His leading. He's leading us supernaturally. He's strengthening us. He's empowering us. He's gifting us to do things. To be a part of His plan, of His process, to be a part of His heart, to be a part of His love for this entire world, not just people within these, you know, these walls, not just people within your immediate family, but for the entire world. Jesus is showing us the way of doing that. He's becoming the example that we need to see. And He's leading us, and sometimes this leading is not always like spectacular. It's not always a big production. It's not like the fireworks that go off on the 4th of July with explosions and music and everything going on there. Sometimes it's just when you're sitting on your porch and you're drinking a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and it's just still out. There's a little slight breeze going on that you're sitting there and you're hearing His voice whispering into you. That's how Jesus shows love too. He's whispering. You know, one of the ways I calm down my granddaughter when she's all strung up is I start whispering. Because then she has to calm down to listen to me. It works. God does the same thing to us. He'll whisper so we calm down. And then we're really intently listening. When we lean forward into it and we're really listening, that's when we feel the love that Jesus truly has for us. The way that He wants to be in our lives. Because we can't figure out who God is. No one knows God but God, right? It's true to say that probably no one knows you but you. To that full extent. And that same thing goes with God. Nobody truly knows God but God. But He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants us to know Him further, deeper, a better relationship than we could possibly imagine. Because when we do that, when God leads us in that, He gives us a moment of limitless joy. Did you realize that you could have a moment of limitless joy? And when I say a moment, I'm not talking a few seconds. I'm talking a lifetime. A lifetime of limitless joy that can be there. You know, the psalmist wrote in chapter 16 of Psalms, he wrote this in verse 11, where he said, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Who's there? You will fill me with joy in your presence. But we have to be in his presence. We have to be there. We have to be listening. We have to be a part of it. And when our spirits are, when ourselves, when our world is going crazy, we have a hard time being in his presence. But that limitless joy is there nonetheless when we calm down, when we pay attention to what he's saying, when we truly lean forward and listen for the whisper that comes. That whisper might come in your ear, might come in your heart, come in your spirit, wherever it comes from, that we would truly know, and we know when it's our Lord whispering to us. We know it. There's no other whisper like it. There's no other feeling like it of being part of that. Because when we hear that, when we know that, when we have it, even in the midst of a storm, we can find that joy. When the boat's being battered by waves and they seem like they're just coming over the top of even the sails, that joy can be there. Because why? Well, as the song goes, because he's our anchor. He is truly our anchor. And it seems unbelievable, but it is truly obtainable through our Savior. In fact, it's the only way it's obtainable. It's through our Savior, through Jesus Christ. That's it. And sometimes I wonder, sometimes in my heart, I truly think about the world, and it's like, what would happen in the world if more people believed in Jesus and acted like it? To be part of that. Because Jesus wants to do nothing but grant us favors. He loves us enough that he wants to grant us favors in every part of our life. And he says, I am going to give this to you. Here's a favor for you. You know what a favor is? Well, a true favor is a favor that somebody does for you that you don't have to pay back. That's what a true favor is. And Jesus gives us those favors. He says, I give this to you, and you don't have to pay it back. Because our Lord surrounds us. He surrounds us all the time with a shield and protecting us. He puts his warm arms around us. We can feel the warmth of him. We can feel the blessing of him in our lives. Because our God does not withhold any good things. We can miss those good things because we're watching somewhere else. But he does not withhold them. He gives you every good thing. And he cares about every aspect of our life. Even the most minute, even those things that we as Christians, as we as people, don't bring to Jesus and pray about because we think they're too minute, he cares about. You ever notice how we do that? How we bring the big things and we leave out the small things? Sometimes I wonder if we prayed about the small things, they wouldn't turn into big things. Cares about every minute part of us because God's love is it's endless, it's constant, it's redeeming, it's unconditional, and it's sacrificial. God loves us in that way, and God cherishes all his people equally. He leaves no one out. But there's one thing that he does do, and he grants eternal life to those that believe. So we as believers, we recognize and we know the fact that Jesus loves us and He cherishes us. And if you know people in your life that don't believe in Jesus, that don't understand the love and the cherishing that comes from Jesus, I would encourage you, I would ask you to introduce them so that they would know how loved and cherished they truly are. Not merely by you, but by Jesus also. This is a good message this morning. It's kind of a different message this morning. But it was one that each of us needs to understand. Each of us truly needs to soak in how much we are loved, how much we are cherished, how Jesus is in each one of our lives. And each life is different. But Jesus' love is not different. It's all-encompassing. And it's equally available to everybody. So if you're walking in a moment in life right now where you think you're missing out on something, now's a good time to reach out to the Lord. We're going to open up the altars here in a little bit. And I know that we have a tough time coming up here sometimes. But don't let the fact of fear stop you from feeling His love. Don't let the fact of, you know, somebody maybe looking at you stop you from realizing how cherished you really are. Because we need to walk with that in our lives. Because if we don't have that, if we don't have that limitless joy, life gets pretty tough. So we're going to walk with each other. We're going to support each other. We're going to cherish and love on each other. But we're also going to spread the good news to each other and other people about how much Jesus truly loves them and cherishes them. So as we get ready to worship this morning and close out, I encourage you, as that encourage word again, I encourage you to come up here and to pray. And that there's something going on in your life that you truly feel that you're not loved, or you truly feel is out, you're out of your depth, or you truly feel that God is not interested in, come up here and give it to Him. And realize that He answers all prayers, that He loves you all equally, and there's nothing He would not do for you so you can have a joyful life. So we're going to stand, and we're going to sing, and we're going to worship the Lord. And the altars are going to be open. And if you want to pray with me, I'll be up here to pray with you. If you just want to come up here and pray to the Lord, bless you. Pray to the Lord so that we can truly know the depth of His love for us.